football on Off the Ball.
They can no longer dominate the ball, and the fear factor from City is gone, but they'll still finish second or third.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
League of Ireland football
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Now, welcome along, everyone, to League of Ireland Late Night here on Off the Ball. Before we get going, I'd just like to say League of Ireland football on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore. I'm at Talca Park here, and I have to say, I've just came from an interview with a very, very fiery John Coleman. He's not too happy at the result here and at a couple of the decisions. Shane, do I have you on the line?
You do indeed. How are you, Ben?
I'm all good. I'm a little bit dazzled and a little bit frantic after speaking to John there. He didn't hold back, is all I say.
Sounds intriguing. Well, he's not the only unhappy manager tonight, because I could see Alan Reynolds and Stevie O'Donnell very, very irate at the referee across in their game, which was the live game on TV tonight. Yeah. Two very, very unhappy men at two penalty calls that they felt should have been given that weren't given. Be interesting to see what people's opinions on those were tonight. But listen, I don't know what you made of your game, but Rovers Bowes game, Ben, it's hard to know even where to start. What an absolute cracker. An absolutely super, super game. I thought both teams were really, really impressive. Bowes will probably feel hard done by not to have got something from the game, but yet Rovers were just Rovers. They just know how to get the job done. But listen, the quality was top class. I think we saw two of the best team goals we've seen all season, one from either team. Some outstanding individual displays. I know Ian Morris gave man of the match to Graham Burke. But geez, I would have thought Pico ran him very close. Now he seemed to get his body in the way of everything late on. So a cracker here. What about the one you were watching?
Not so much a cracker, I would say, but like there was a lot of drama in the last couple of 15 minutes. Chelsea probably deserved the 3 points, I would say, over the 90. They came out fast, really fast from the start. Lovely goal, 6 minutes in. Kerr McEnroy played the ball over the back of the defence. Ali Cook got on the end of it. He spun Grant Horton, put it in the top corner. And you're kind of thinking, Jesus, this is now, if Chelsea can kick on, this can really be there for them. Did a chance then a couple of minutes later, and Beng found himself for a couple of yards in the box, and he put it over, and you're really thinking, wow, like this is a Chelsea game to lose. And then Watford kind of slowly were going into the end of the first half, and then a brilliant goal. I don't know if you had the chance to see it from Conan Noonan, just 2 minutes ago before the half time. The ball was played in by Dempsey, and he catches it on the half volley right into the corner. Sweet, sweet strike on his left boot. And you kind of go into half time then thinking, God, it's just there for Waterford. Can they kick on? They made a change only 2-3 minutes into the second half. They brought on Tommy Lonergan. It was him and Amund up top. And you thought, God, they're going to go for this. But they really struggled to get on the ball in the second half. Shares had them pinned back. They brought on Daniel Kelly and Evan Caffrey as wing-backs, who really had Waterford kind of pinned back in. Did a couple of chances. There was one John Martin play lacrosse. It fell to James Norris before he got taken off the back stick. McMullen did really well to stop him from putting in the back of the net. There was a couple like that where Harry Wood and Daniel Kelly linked up great down the right-hand side and played it across, and the chance was just blazed over. Caffrey had one, and then 10 minutes in time, Paddy Barrett was brought down in the box, and apparently he was given. Harry Wood steps up, puts in a far corner. Like I said, I was speaking to John Coleman there, and to say he is irate would be an understatement. About the foul that was given just before the penalty. It was a foul down here on the right-hand side. I think it was Sean Boyd. It was Sean Boyd and Ryan Burke. Ryan Burke was very unhappy at the time. He was pleading with the linesman. But John Coleman did not hold back. I'll have to get the interview up as quick as I can here as soon as we finish, because he did not mince his words, both on camera and then a couple of expletives after the camera went off that we probably can't post about.
I hope he's as irate with his own players at the same time, Ben, because I did see the foul that led to the penalty. And what a ridiculous tackle. Like, what an absolutely ridiculous tackle. So I didn't see what led to the free, for the free that led to the penalty, if that makes
sense. Yeah, yeah. No, the penalty was a, yeah, it was a daft, rash kind of challenge across. It was one of them where Barrett touches ahead of him and you're going, he's not getting on the end of that. And he comes across and takes him out. The free before it, I have a little bit of sympathy in the sense that, you know, the way they're looking at it, it's Sean Boyd, like, all 6'6" up against Ryan Burke. And I think that's kind of the argument they're making is, you know, how could he have really taken him down? But yeah, they can have no complaints about the penalty decision. There was also a handball shout in, there was 8 minutes of added time here, Shane, and there was a handball shout up the other end, and you didn't really know from the press box. Again, John was adamant that it was a penalty, as he would be after a loss like that, but Waterford in serious trouble now. Serious trouble, especially with Galway picking up 3 points against Cork.
Big time. Have we Johnny in yet, Ben? He's texting me here saying that he's trying to get in on the call.
We should have him there now. I've accepted him in anyway, so he can.
Here's Johnny. No sign of him on mine there yet. So there's not. But our we've this well organized and well planned, don't we, Ben? Are you letting are you letting our speakers in, or am I? Let's get them on.
You can let someone in first, Shane. I'll just finish packing up my stuff here at Talca, and you can get the first one in.
No problem. Well, I think the first one I saw logging in there was Marty. So we might jump to Marty for his view on the Derry.
I am here now as well, Shane. Sorry if you can hear me.
Johnny, how are you getting on?
We have you there, sorry. Johnny.
I think that was my fault. I was kind of waiting for it to start, but maybe it had started. But I heard Ben's reaction from Talca. I was actually struggling to watch both games tonight, the Galway United game and the game in Talla. I don't know what you made of it, Shane. I thought that was as good a live game as I've seen in the League of Ireland. It was just everything you'd want. It was just so entertaining, so much quality. Two teams with a real commitment to playing football, and real jeopardy towards the end. And then watching the game in Galway as well, like Stephen Walsh, just amazing, record equaling appearance tonight, with Kevin Cassidy, so he's going to break that record and to get those two goals. And as Ben says, Waterford put into a bit of trouble now, but really, like I was chatting on a WhatsApp group during the week about it. I watched the Red Zone for the first time in the NFL this season last weekend. I really enjoyed it. And I was saying, imagine a Red Zone for the League of Ireland. Well, tonight was the night because there were so many goals and so much action. And it was actually hard to watch both games, which isn't always the case. But really enjoyed the two games.
100%. No, you've echoed my own comments on the Rovers-Bowls game anyway. And listen, the quality of goals right across the league tonight, yet again, unbelievable. We'll come to a few more of them as we go. Marty, what did you make of your one?
Yeah, how are you, Shane? Yeah, it was a great game, I thought. Now, it wasn't your typical Drogheda game. Very end-to-end and very exciting. And probably a fair result with the 1-1.
How do you feel that leaves you in terms of the overall picture?
I think it's gone quite good. We're a point ahead now in second and couldn't ask for more after those kind of four. We kind of had the four behind us in a row for the last 4 weeks and we were unbeaten. Two wins, two draws. So it's gone pretty well.
Yeah, you are in a good position. They are, Johnny, looking strong. I mean, you look back at the start of the season, it's actually mad. Like, if you look back at the start of the season, I would say over the first quarter of the season, was there any managers under as much pressure as Derry and Bowes, or any teams under as much pressure as Derry and Bowes? And now they're sitting second and third in the table. Like,
yeah, but I suppose as Marty can relate to as well, like if you look at Shells are on 46 and Derry are on 51, Shells have a game in hand, and Pats, who have plenty of upside, have a game in hand obviously as well, playing in Sligo. That top four position, as much as it looks like now that fourth will get you into Europe, it's like two teams of Derry, Bowes, Drogheda, Pats and Shells are going to be out of the top four, which is kind of, it's going to be very disappointing for those two teams. And as much as Drogheda like have probably overachieved in terms of what the expectation is, they've been up there so long now that they will genuinely be disappointed if they don't finish top four. Whereas like the jeopardy involved of the five teams going for second, third and fourth, it's going to be really, really tight. Like I was mighty impressed with Bowes in so many ways tonight. Like some of their play around the box and like the proper chances they had. But like that result, as much as Derry are in a good position, that result wouldn't have them at all guaranteed to finish second. And like Drogheda are still a very hard side to play, but the Pats game tomorrow now takes on massive kind of importance, and it's really hard to call. Like I thought, like, Bowes again tonight, they're as good, like, they've 3 points, they've 3 wins and a defeat against Rovers, but they really put it up to them. Like they look like they could easily get a draw if with a bit of luck on their way. But they're going to be two managers out of in that top six who are going to be really, really disappointed, and it's an incredibly close race, Shane.
Marty, your own goal was a super sweeping counter attack, wasn't it?
It was very good, and we nearly scored an identical one with Danny Mullen again hitting the post. So it's quite end-to-end. Like, again, as I said, it was very unlike what we expected, I suppose, when we came down. But I suppose Drogheda had to open up. They really needed the win, whereas we could take the draw and stay ahead of them. So,
were there any players in particular that caught the eye for you on the night?
Yeah, Danny Mullen was brilliant, and he's looking for a contract, I suppose. His contract's up in a few weeks, so. He certainly did everything he could tonight to get one.
Always a good extra motivation, all right, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
There looked to be, Marty, was there, just watching the replay there, was there, Connolly made a brilliant kind of block onto the post in the second half to keep it 1-1.
Yeah, Connolly was brilliant, and he kind of had to go off injured after that. I think he might have hurt himself doing that. And in fairness, like, I thought Drogheda don't create a lot of chances, and they did cut us open. A hell of a lot. So Brian Maher again he's been in great form the last couple of weeks, and he continued tonight, saved us a few times, and we almost snatched it ourselves. But yeah,
the run in for Derry, Shane, as well, is Sligo at home, Waterford away, Shamrock Rovers at home. Rovers have nothing to play for. Cork City away last game. Like, you couldn't ask for a better run in than that, really.
No, you took the words out of my mouth. I was literally going to say the same thing. I was going to say, if nothing else, they're certainly going to have a major say in the relegation side of things anyway. It's Sligo and Waterford as two fixtures. Look.
Just lost you there, Shane.
We just lost you there, Shane. If you can hear us. Johnny, were you watching you had the Rovers Bowls game on, did you?
Yeah, so I was in Terryland on Monday night. It was my first time in Galway, actually, in a few games. So tonight I was back watching the games on the box. So I was kind of expecting the crowd to be down tonight on Monday, which it was, because you know, it was a disappointing performance from United and all that, and I suppose the Cork City game wasn't a massive draw, but I was kind of fully intending to, like, watch both games equally as best I could, like the Grandad and Only Fools and Horse with the two TVs. But geez, I can't remember a game, Ben, on TV, a League of Ireland game, that I was just glued to. It was just like that Rovers Bowes game had everything you could want in a game. Like, even the first minute of the second half, a chance at either end, like, the quality of the goals, like Dale Rooney's cross for Bowes' goal, is the technique of that is outrageous, I think, the way the ball was hit at him. And then, obviously, the performance of Graham Burke, Josh Honohan for the goal, Danny Mandroyo's finish, the two penalty calls that were, I think the referee actually probably made the right call. And obviously, there was a slight, in watching the game, you know, Rovers have pretty much won the title, so it's not the end of the world if they don't win. But Bowes have beaten them 3 times, so that's that massive motivation. Tala itself looks so good. You've young players on the pitch, nearly all Irish players playing, a lot of Dubliners, like really local fare. I enjoyed it immensely. The best game I've seen, I'd say, in the League of Ireland this season. And I think Rovers deserve credit as well, because I was saying in our podcast during the week, it's like, it's kind of hard to tell how strong they are because they've sort of had the league wrapped up so long out. But I think tonight they had 48% possession. Now, considering they were basically leading for the vast majority of that game, to have 48% possession against a team chasing the game is really, really impressive. And I thought they were good. Like, when Bowes equalised, they found a way to go back and front quite quickly. Again, the strength of Pico Lopez at the back, how strong he is, kind of just managing situations. And it's gonna be really nicely set up now to watch the two Irish teams in the Conference League, because Shells will be good as well, I think.
Shane, are you back with us now? Shane, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have you there now.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we can hear you now, Shane.
We have you there, yeah. It wouldn't be late night without a bit of technical difficulties.
You were in Talca, Ben, were you?
Can you hear me there? I think my line is...
I can, yeah. I can hear you again.
Yeah, man. I was in Talca.
Was it an absolute definite penalty, the Paddy Barrett one?
Oh, yeah, the Paddy Barrett one was a penalty, 100%.
Yeah.
I spoke to John Coleman. He's absolutely irate at the free kick just before it.
Okay.
He felt it wasn't a foul. It was Sean Boyd up against Ryan Burke, and it's one of those against Little Man, and Boyd, he goes down, and Burke is furious at the linesman, and Coleman is just, if you had a microphone and a camera, there was actually cameras there. We were wondering what they were filming, someone in the crowd, but we couldn't make out who it was. But if you had a camera on John Coleman and a microphone on tonight, you would have got some entertainment. I tell you that much. I almost don't blame him. They put up such a good fight, and when you're down there, he actually said to me after, he said he's never been on such a bad run in his whole Mangia career. They haven't won since Galway, which was the 25th of July. They won 4-2, and like, they are right down in that scrap now. They're in ninth. I have a feeling it's going to come down to that final day.
Yeah,
in the RSE, I was looking at it there, and it's the only game where the sides down there play each other that's left, is that game, and it's just got mammoth importance now.
Yeah, and in fairness to United now, like, kind of rode their luck a bit against Cork tonight, but got the job done, and it wasn't probably going to be any other way. Like, 3 points from the last 33 from Galway United, so like, they weren't going to be impressed tonight, but that win gives them a major boost, because basically as it stands now, as much as United have... will probably play Shamrock Rovers when Shamrock Rovers again won't have Ann to play for. Like, the goal difference situation is such that United will probably be okay getting a draw in the RSC in the final game of the season. We shall see, like, but it's their two sides have just been in an absolute collapse in form. Like, United can probably put it down to a combination of the Ali Horgan situation and Moses Dyer. Watford, though, like, the guys came in to kind of, like, Watford had a good start to the season, and as much as Keith Long wasn't a major surprise when he left, like, they've had a shocking run.
Yeah, it's really bad. I feel for them. It's not for the want of trying. And you're watching there, like, the effort and even the press from minute one, like, they were on the shells, but ultimately it was just the quality shone through in the end. Shells really up the tempo second half. I'm looking here. We have Shane Kennelly looking to get in. I might add him in. He can give his thoughts on the game himself, because I really thought now, Shells, while they did up the tempo and the quality shone through, like, that'd be a long buzz home to Waterford after a hell of an effort in tonight. And obviously John Coleman not too happy. Shane, do we have you in there?
You're talking to me, pal, or is that Keegan?
On to you, Keegan.
I don't know if he can hear me.
We have Shane Keegan back now.
Shane Keegan's dropping in and out. Right now, so fire away, Shane. Well, you would have wanted to hear me on Monday, but tonight I'm a bit more reserved after that, though. Just wondering what Ben thinks about it, because just from a different far away side, like, from a Shell's point of view, like, what kind of you thought watching it from us before we did?
Yeah. Well, to be like, the first 15 minutes, yous were outstanding. And it was like, obviously the goal, it's a great ball for the goal, and Ali Kilt was brilliant to spin Horton around, and then Mbeng had that chance there a couple of minutes later, and you're kind of thinking, right, yous are going to ramp it up now. But they grew into the game, I thought, a lot throughout the first half, and yeah, the goal was probably a little bit against the run of play, but I thought, like, you kind of only had yourselves to blame for not being more up before that. And then second half, they made that change 3 minutes in the second half. The Tommy Lonergan went on. I thought it was a bit of a strange one, in the sense that I thought he'd play Ammon and him up together, but Ammon kind of seemed to drop into the midfield. And then it was almost like it was a bank of five and a bank of five. Lonergan nearly dropped into it. And he's had that spell where I think, was it Daniel Kelly played one across, and it Caffrey didn't manage to pull away. There was another one where Norris was at the back stick, and I thought the goal was coming. He's probably deserved the goal.
Definitely.
I would say, quality wise in the game, Shell's probably deserved to win, but the effort from Waterford I thought was unbelievable for a side who are down there, and it was a fighting effort.
Yeah,
and it'll be a long bus journey home for them.
Yeah, 100%. It's hard though to. Like next now, like the kind of Rovers game in 2 weeks, because we do struggle against low blocks. Like, and I suppose there's no excuse now. 2 weeks, we also play in Tala next week, and Rovers, you'd imagine, will give us more space. So you can't come away from that with another poor performance and go, oh, well, it was a low block, because this is the game that's going to give us apparently what the lads want and someone to come at us, because it seems like we're a better team. If it's maybe a bit end to end, you'd like Ali Q, which I thought was. Europe, I don't know, with Europe, this thing is just killing us in terms of the league, like, because we rested him on Monday, and he was our best player tonight, he was our most creative player, and Harry Wood takes all the plaudits, but he doesn't do enough for me, like, in terms of the goals or assists, like, for the plaudits he gets in the league, I don't think, where Ali Q was by far our most creative player. But yeah, Monday was bad, tonight was, again, we were huffing and puffing, I think, at times, really. I'm not sold on Mbeng, to be honest, going forward, though. You have to be honest, he doesn't have the league medal in the bank, so you can't be too critical of some people at the minute. But I'm personally not sold on Mbeng going forward. I think he's... I don't understand why Caffrey's not playing instead of him, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't get that myself. And I thought, when Caffrey came on, and especially Daniel Kelly, I thought the width they provided... And kind of linking up with Harry Wood and those little balls and beyond the fullback, I kind of didn't really get why he didn't start with Caffrey.
Mbeng's played every game since he's come in. He's an unbelievable defender. He's a big physical lad, though, but home to Waterford, you need. He just wants to get down to head down, get down to the boy line. And even he had a cross, I think, just at the end, just at the start of the first half. But just he gets it, but he just kicks it. He's now head up around. Yeah, Jack Henry Francis, though, lads, looks an absolute baller and a half.
He's a proper player, isn't he, Shane?
He's a good footballer.
He looks like a better version of JJ Looney. Just he'll be willing to do. Maybe I don't watch enough of Matt Healy, but I'm sure Matt Healy might be able to get away from a player. It's something, in my opinion, JJ Looney lacks. Just he's great on the ball, but he can't dribble away from someone. And I think Jack might provide us that, which then you get away from that man and he sucks in the next man, which creates a free man somewhere. That's something that JJ definitely struggles with, though.
He had those two spells, sorry, just quickly, on the edge of the box, on the edge of his own box, where he beat the first man and then he beat the second man and he got pulled back for the free kick. And that was with just those little two moments, even I thought that's really promising for you, that you have that player who can pull you out of those kind of messes. But he looked really promising. I think. I didn't get to speak to Joe at the end. I got to speak to John, and I had to run on here. But yeah, it's that thing of going into these games now where you're going to be playing Thursday, Sunday. I don't know. And like you said, the Europe might suit you. Not playing teams in a low block like Europe, you might get teams who are going to kind of go a bit more. But it's going to be a tough end to the season to try and battle on both fronts.
100%. And I was even looking today. You probably do, which is something that Bradley doesn't get enough credit for. Even in terms of last year, he had a good stab at the league when he probably didn't deserve it. But when we're away to Macedonia, we're on a Thursday. If we're still in the hunt and we beat Bowles to go ahead of them, you're probably looking at going, right, do you play Mark Hoyle? No offence to Mark, but he's not playing at the minute. And this kind of second team against Macedonia away and going to go full tilt with the league. So you're kind of doing that, where next week we can just go, hacking. But that was a foul all day, lads. The linesman is, or the assistant referee is 2 yards away. I was on the other side in Riverside. He clearly pulled his jersey. Like, it was, I don't know what John Coleman. How can John Coleman, who's in the other end of the pitch, give out about an official who was literally 2 yards away from me? Like, he's standing right in front of it. Like, boy, he goes by him and he just grabs his jersey. Bizarre to hear that one. Like,
this was actually asked in our podcast during the week, Shane. How would you assess the season if you don't make Europe, and not knowing what's going to happen in the Conference League group stages, how would you assess the season if you don't make Europe?
Well, we said it. I've been on here, and this is why it's good to come on and kind of give your opinion throughout the season. I've said we were geared up towards Europe, and when we had the injuries we had with Paddy Barrett out, Sam Bowen out, as I said, we kept a formation that didn't suit the players. But in my opinion, it was kept with Europe in mind. If we didn't have Europe coming up, we would have gone back to a back four probably, because we had so many injuries. We didn't have enough centre-halves. Mark Hoyle doesn't play in the middle of a three. So we kind of threw away a lot of points where we look back and go, God, that was obviously, like, we just played players out of position too many times. But we got the Conference League. And we got a nice, decent, lucky draw in the end. Yeah. But we still got it, though. So we are now sacrificing, like, with Europe in mind coming up, resting Ali Kuti or Anoi, playing Sean Gannon centre-half away to draw it, because you're trying to give players minutes and rotation. And, like, our squad isn't as good. Like, Sean Gannon shouldn't be playing centre-half in a million years. There's no two ways.
Yeah.
And it's something that I wanted to ask Shane about. When you're managing a team, how hard is it to kind of juggle players? And you might, like, Joey O'Brien played with Sean Gannon, and Sean Gannon shouldn't be anywhere near the draw of the away centre-half, in my opinion. But, like, he's an experienced player who he's playing football with. So it's probably hard to not play him at all. Like.
Yeah, no, look, it's not ideal. I think, Gano, were you back four tonight?
No, we were. He didn't play tonight. He played away the draw today on Monday. But for the first goal, I don't know if you see.
He was out muscle for the first goal badly.
He didn't want to engage in the physical battle. Yeah. The head injury, it's terrible defending, because he's not a centre back. Like, just standing up.
No. Listen, Gano, like, let's be honest, Gano has had the most incredible career in terms of medals as a raiding right full. And look, while I think he can do a job, probably, you know, on the right hand side of three centre halves, if needed, it's not the best use of his fucking skill set, not by a stretch.
100%, yeah, and he doesn't want to engage with the foul. But to be honest, as Johnny asked me a question there, how do we, our season is summed up based off that first draw to go. I don't know if you saw it the other night, lads. It was an absolute shambles.
Yeah,
mistakes in one.
But, like, in terms of next season, Europe or no Europe, like, the priority basically to get a centre back, how many players do you think you need, or where do you go from here?
Yeah, definitely a centre. An overhaul, but look, I was like, it's hard for me to come on and say who now start naming people, because we do have Europe, and, like, yeah, an overhaul is definitely needed of the squad. Like, players that aren't good enough, and that's the reality, but I suppose I'll name them at the end of the season rather than when we're playing a massive game next week. But there's definitely a good few players that you can see with the team selection, though. Whether he keeps the formation and the shape is another thing, but I suppose when you sign Jack Henry Francis on a 3-year deal, that shows the ambition.
Yeah. What's Joey's philosophy in terms of, like, what's his stamp on what he's put in it since he's come in?
It's hard to, he's definitely brought the 2-10s in play, which is more attacking than even Harry Wood. I don't know if you've seen his interview. He even said he's more freer and he's taking the weight off his shoulders, but he also needs to step up in the league, in my opinion. It seems like he's bringing more. But it does look a lot of the same stuff, though. It'd be interesting next year if he keeps the shape, because the shape is the big thing. And you're not crossing the ball into the box when you have Boydie up front and then Boydie comes off. That was another thing as well I meant to say on Monday. Boydie comes off and you have one man in the box and you cross in, which is madness. But then I'll be saying for the free kick, I couldn't believe it. Joey's usually really good at substitutions. And there was one game against Galway, I think it was. He took Ali Q off. No, he brought Ali Q on and took James Norris off centre-half. Because he didn't want the two lads on at the same time for Galway at home, which is fair enough. But the other night, like, Trotter got a free kick and he took Sean Boyd off for the free kick instead of just saying, wait for the official, we don't need to wait until this is finished. Like, Conor Keely comes the header and then our defenders are all over the place. That was another, like, gifted goals. Like, when you give goals away, you're not going to compete.
Yeah. Shane, we might just move on to Rovers, but thanks for all the input.
We look forward to Thursday and try and make Talla a bit red and white now, you know.
Ben, well, I have a suggestion. It might be a bit of a mad move for us here. It could be a bit chancy, but considering we have such a queue of people here to get on, will we throw Anthony and Ed on the same on at the same time here, and let's get the Bows angle, yes, and the Shamrock Rovers angle. The game was so good that I'd like to maybe see get the two boys' input near enough at the same time. I've approved the two of them there. Can you hear us, Ed and Anthony? You both there?
Yeah, Shane, I'm here. Yeah, how are you keeping?
Great stuff. You there, Anthony?
Yeah, I'm here as well, Shane. Good man.
Brilliant. Well, listen, I think you were logged in first, Anthony. Go on, give us your take on it first, and then we'll throw it to Ed from there.
Yeah, that was a great game. That was a great advertisement for the league. I thought the two teams were unbelievable. I thought Rovers were good. They were set up well. I thought the atmosphere looked great. I'm over in Turkey here at the minute on a work trip. I thought it just played out as one of the games of the season, to be honest with you. I thought Bows weren't lucky not to go in ahead, because they had a serious spell 15-10 minutes before the end of the first half, and then Rovers got their goal in the start of the second half, which they're always capable of doing. If that much quality on the pitch, they can break it. Honahan was unbelievable. He broke the lines. He had a quick 1-2 with Dylan Watts, who I thought was a 9 out of 10 tonight in the middle. He was like Jack Bourne, only better, a better version. And your man Ocandina, the new centre half off Bows, got kind of dragged in. They actually switched him to right full at that stage, got him dragged in, and Honahan made all the space. And I thought Keane Bourne made a tackle in on him, but looking back on it now, actually Honahan flicked it with the outside of his boot and left it off to Mandreu, who's not going to miss from there, really.
It was out. If you had told me when Bows got their goal, I thought the Bows goal was tremendous quality. If you had told me when Bows scored their goal that we would see a better team goal before the game was finished, Ed, that winning goal, I mean, to me, the wall pass between Josh and Dylan, like, to me, that was class to start with. And that was only the starter, really. What a goal.
Yeah, I think we were all shouting, shoot, Josh, because he cut inside. And you're ready for him to pull the trigger, and he just sets up Danny Mandrew, and what a finish into the top corner. It was fantastic. Three brilliant goals, to be fair, on the night, but I think that one really, really stole the show. It was a brilliant team goal. And once we got our nose in front, I thought, yeah, we're going to kick on here. And we did. We nearly scored a toward. Graham Bourke went close. And then... We did had a good spell, and I thought we were going to kick on and score the tour, but we kind of sat back then. And I think Ed McGinty, he makes a mess of one with his clearance, but he made a great recovery save. And I think if you watch the last few minutes as well, he saves one, and it was a brilliant clearance by Adam Matthews. I think he was only on the pitch, and he reacts so quickly around the box, and he clears it for a corner.
It's a tap in if he's not on the ball there. You're right. You're dead right. He tips it away. Not enough, McGinty, but Matthews comes on and clears it with his bad fortune.
Yeah, I think he's actually got McGinty out of jail on that, because McGinty, for me, has to knock that around the post for a corner kick. He owes a serious pat in the back, because it's a goalkeeping error if Bows score off the rebound there, Ed.
Yeah, it was hard to see from the far end where I was, but I just noticed the reactions of Adam Matthews that, you know, it was a brilliant clearance. But again, it's like you're 2-1 up. We've been winning games the last few weeks late, and we've conceded late in a lot of games lately, and you're thinking, oh, it can't happen again. Not the Bows, it just can't. And thankfully it didn't, and we saw it out. We are never going to lose four times in a season to them. Never. That was never going to happen.
And Andy, you obviously saw it watching on the TV. Ed, I'm interested to see if you were obviously at the game. Have you seen Danny Grant's celebration for the second goal?
I've seen a few videos going around of it already. There's some fair play to him. He took a lot of stick, but listen, he's been so underrated for us this season, right? He goes under the radar. His defensive work in that wing back role is absolutely outrageous. The work and the ground he covers defensively is it goes unnoticed, and especially in Europe as well.
He's just been so good, and now he's actually opening up more. He wasn't really attacking the fullback much in the early part of the season. Now he's getting at them. He's cutting inside. He's taking a wide. I think he's been so good. And
I actually can't believe Stephen Bradley's ability to spot a player who he believes he can turn. If you had told me that Josh Honohan I had seen at Cork City was going to end up as a wing back, if you had told me that the Danny Grant that I had seen at Bowes was going to end up being a massive success.
There's even Neil Ferrugia, Shane, like he was playing right wing back.
Yeah.
Do you know what that comes from, lads, in my opinion? That comes from, I know when Andy Lyons went over, they kind of, the season before, they weren't that dynamic and they didn't have a player in that position that could break the lines. And Andy Lyons came in and he was that one player that opened the game up for them. And I think ever since then, since Andy Lyons moved on, he's kind of went to that model where he needs a player that can, I don't know, is it akin to Mason Mount, what Ten Hag seen him in Man United, where he likes to run with the ball and drag players in and open that space. That's what I think the template is for what Bradley's trying to work with there.
Yeah, and I think in fairness to Stephen Bradley, and he kind of slightly took the piss off me when I said this some lately in an interview, but like their recruitment has been very, very good. And like it was a rare interview with Danny Grant this week where it was actually interesting. Like Danny Grant wasn't great in his second spell for Bowes. When I saw him, he was generally struggling, and Bradley still was able to look beyond that. I think that's good in terms of, and I'm sure his recruitment team is more than just him, and you know, it's Stephen McPhail and the other lads as well, but he was able to still point to, you know, earmark the fact that Danny Grant would suit their system, because
I can add another layer to that. So when Danny Grant came back to Bowes, we played a three up front, and he was an out and out winger who teams doubled up on. So he wasn't able to break the lines. He wasn't able to get in. And to be honest with you, he was, I don't know, was there some sort of long COVID issue we had or something, but he wasn't firing on all cylinders and he looked leggy. And we struggled last year. We finished fourth from bottom last year, so fifth from bottom. So he was on big money there. So you can understand why that conversation happened. Like, can we get somebody like Parsons in who can be a better player? So that conversation, now look, I don't think it's not the same as all the other players that left over the years and went to Rovers. We released them, and then I think Shells offered them a contract. And well, I don't know this for sure. I'm only throwing it out there. But when he talked to Bradley said, "Look, this is where I see you as. This is how I can see your capabilities." So that's how. And I will also add that before Bowes' goal tonight, Dale Rooney got two crosses in the box down that side. So from a Bowes point of view, we would have targeted that as a weak link in the Rovers defence, because we're hardly going over the other side where Honohan is. So in fairness, we scored our goal down that weak side. If you're throwing a spanner in the works on the whole patting on the back thing, so there is an element of the defensive duties from a converted winger going in,
exploiting his attacking intent. Ed, you're hardly heading for Prague, are you?
I am indeed, lads. That's a silly question, Shane. Come on. We've been all over Europe so far, so how could I miss that one? There's about 900 hoops, maybe more, 950 going over to Prague. I was there last year for the Champions League game, and it's a smashing old-fashioned stadium. It's a two-tier stadium. I think there was 22,000 at the last game. It's a proper, proper old-school atmosphere. It's brilliant. So the fact that there'll be 900 hoops here this time, really excited for it. And the only thing I kind of disappointed is the league race one. I believe he's going to be out for a couple of weeks, so we will miss him, especially in Europe. But just going back to Shane, just quickly, if you don't mind me saying, like, 30 year candidates are going to come up now, and who's it going to be, and there'll be a good debate about it. But like, I know I'm biased, but Rovers could easily have 7 or 8 players in the team of the year this year. They could easily. You know, Pico Lopez has been outrageous this season. The last few weeks especially, he's been absolutely outrageous. We'll all talk about Mahili, and yeah, he deserves it. He's been outstanding. Graham Bourke, different. But Pico has been unbelievable. Did you see him tonight? See the blocks and the tackles? My God.
I said it at the start. It was one of the first things I said was that Ian Morris gave Graham Burke man of the match on the TV, but yeah. I would have given it to Pico. I absolutely would have given it to Pico.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just getting better with age, isn't he? He's just unbelievable.
Just on that, am I right in saying that that's an international break when they've refixed the Shells game for, which is yes. Rovers could potentially
yeah. And he'll miss it.
He'll miss it, yeah, okay. Yeah. So yeah. That's kind of a big one. So if that went the other way tonight, or I know Marty was a bit cocky there first and foremost on when he came on, and he's happy enough with two draws in the last two games with the money they've spent and the wages they have. If they beat Shells and draw it tonight, they're that little bit closer to Rovers, and they're not looking at Europe, they're looking at challenging. So, yeah, back to the original point, like does an element of that as well, like that.
Yeah, and all look, I couldn't disagree. Like for me, yeah, I would say McGinty's in with a shout. I would say Pico should be a cert. Lee Grace should be a cert. Healy should be a cert. Josh Honan's a cert.
Yeah,
Burkey is probably in it. Like you're gonna have a serious representation there, aren't you?
Yeah, that's what I said. At least 7 or 8. I know it won't happen, but there is an argument that could be like we're talking about these players who have been the most consistent all season. Not only on the domestic front, but in Europe too. But they've been so good. And like McGinty got an awful lot of stick when he signed for Rovers. I don't know whether it's because it was Rovers he was signing for, but he got an awful lot of stick. And he's been outstanding. Like he's been brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant. I know his distribution with the ball tonight wasn't great, but in general, you can see last season the defenders and midfielders were nervous with Poles in build-up. They were nervous. Now they're not. They can play through the press. They can mix it up. They can go long. Yeah, McGinty has been brilliant as well.
Absolutely. Lads, fair play. Super stuff and fair play for not abusing life out of each other there. That worked quite well.
Ah, you know, we can... Do you want me to start singing now?
You can save that for when the title comes.
Yeah, I'll give you one before you go. You could probably add the referee to that list of player of the year that you have there, Ed, as well. Do you know what I mean?
I still remember Ed from what must be more than 20 years ago, so I'm not sure whether he's going to start singing Rover songs or Oasis songs. It could be either
or the Wolf Tones.
Rasher would be proud of you.
Fair play to you, Shane.
Okay, lads.
Good luck, lads. Bye bye.
Great stuff.
I should just say, Shane, on that point, is Prague the best possible away day you can get in the competition?
Listen, I'd say that will be a crack, as he said. Nearly 1,000 of them heading out there. Jesus, that will be some crack for them.
Can you imagine those couple of days? Like that's what you follow your club for. Like it's for days like that.
And it's weird as well because the league has just
3 or 4 days.
Well, the league has just felt like Dan brought this up in our podcast during the week. It's a fair point. The league has almost like slipped from the narrative. It's just like, oh yeah, Sean McGovern's won the league, and you'd forget that like it is kind of a hell of an achievement to be so dominant in the league this season. And it's almost like you get the impression that games as well, their fans are kind of, oh yeah, the league has won, we'll concentrate on Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. Gavin has been waiting patiently. We'll throw across to him. Can you hear us, Gavin? How are you keeping?
Very well, thank you.
What were you watching tonight, Gavin?
I was watching the Bulls Rovers, and I was listening to Davey and Drogheda just in case Rovers come in the league tonight.
Good man, good man. You were obviously as impressed with all the rest of us as the game on TV. It was a cracker, wasn't it?
It was a great spectacle, but on the two penalty decisions, the first one was a stonewall penalty. I don't know how the referee not gave that, but I have to give credit to both. They were amazing, even though they were 2-1 down. But I just want to talk about the relegation scrap, because I think we got down to the last weekend of the season, and obviously Cork are gone, but I have a sneaky feeling Waterford would lose in the playoffs.
You reckon?
Because Waterford are absolutely sucking at the moment.
Yeah, well, I have my own opinion.
I thought Waterford put up a bit of a fight tonight. I thought out of all the teams I've seen the last couple of weeks, Johnny, you might be able to tell me a bit better about Galway, but Galway and Waterford have put up serious fights in the last couple of times I've seen them. I think it's going to be a hell of a battle.
Yeah, I think Gavin's point was probably valid enough, because if you like whichever of the teams, be it Galway or Waterford or Sligo, I imagine it'll be Galway or Waterford. The expectation will be that they'll win the playoff, but the team that they'll play in the playoff will be coming in with a fair bit of momentum, and like if Waterford were to go in on the back of the results that they've had, which would probably imply that they didn't beat us in the last game of the season as well, like their confidence would be absolutely shot. And as much as you have good players and all of that, like in a game against a first division team on the up, and like as much as Waterford should win, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the first division team won, because that Premier Division team will be like, how the fuck did we end up down here, basically?
I think Sligo will be fine. Because before Monday's game, I was very concerned about Sligo, but the win on Monday was massive for John Russell's men. To go to Galway and beat the Irish Rovers, I think Galway will be dusty enough to get out of trouble. But Galway's big problem is they don't have a prolific goal scorer who could draw Galway out of this, because I could see the Galway game at the OEC being the most crucial game of the end of season in years.
Yeah, and the thing for me here, Johnny, that fans of whoever, be it Waterford, be it Sligo, be it Galway, like what they can't get sucked into here is, let's assume, like Cove are the ones that are looking the most impressive at the moment. Let's assume they come through it. Like the idea of, it's Cove, like we have to have enough to be beating a Cove. Like this is basically an amalgamation of the best young players that Cork City and Waterford United have had over the last few years. I mean, I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out how Cork City felt Barry Coffey wasn't good enough to be retained. He's got another hat trick tonight. He's been absolutely outstanding. You look at the players they've brought in from both Cork City and Waterford United, the two teams who went up in the last 2 years. I mean, this is, what's the phrase, a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, this is not little old Cove. This is a serious, serious outfit.
And I agree with you saying, because even ITC Cove Farm was doing so well this season. I had them just to miss out of the playoffs, but whoever gets Cove's in the playoffs, especially going to Comets Park, won't be easy, because Comets Park could be a bit of a tricky place for teams to go down to.
Yeah, look, the Astro as well. Teams probably won't like that. No, I'm with you, Gavin. All three teams are level on points now, I think, are they?
Because if Sligo beat Pat tomorrow, I think that could that could draw Sligo a clear for Denzel.
It would put them in the driving seat, but trying to beat Pat is no Pat's of a bit of form back.
Because if Pat win tomorrow, the race for Europe will probably go down to the wire as well.
Yeah, no, it's a huge game tomorrow night. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be intriguing. Gavin, fair play for jumping on.
Thank you.
Great stuff. We're nearly getting through him. Shane McCormick has shown tremendous patience to stick with us, in fairness to him. So we'll see if we can get Shane in here. Another Shamrock Rovers fan, I think, having a look at his bio. Are you there, Shane? Can you hear us, Shane? Just make sure you're not on mute. Hello. No, after waiting all that long.
I just want to say, I've just seen Shane Kenley just allude to it. I forgot to say it, because John Coleman didn't say it to me on camera, but he said it to me off after. Basically, Sam Bone went off injured there with about 10 minutes ago, and he couldn't move, like, couldn't walk. He came back on up top. Shells lumped it long. He went up in the air, went down holding his head. He did look like he got a bit of a bang to the eye now, to be fair. And Shells were out of substitutions, and all of a sudden, they could bring on Sean Gannon on for him in a concussion substitution. So that's another reason why John Cohen was not doing
that. That's just brilliant management. Like, let's be honest, that's brilliant management.
But that's what we were saying. We were saying that up in the press box. I actually said, you can, as soon as he walked back on, I said, can you imagine if Damien Duff was here, he'd be telling him, go down, hold your head, and we'll get someone on for you. And sure enough, 2 seconds later, it's exactly what they done. So Joey O'Brien, a fan of the dark arts as well.
Yeah, fair play. Shane, I take it we still don't have Shane McCormick there, do we, Shane? No. Listen, we'll wrap it up on that, lads. I think that was really good. Loads of good calls. I think getting the two boys on at the one go is something we might look to do as well a bit more often. But a brilliant night. I'm frantically scrambling here to give a prelude to the upcoming Friday, next Friday night fixtures. Here we are. We have
the cup. Cup is on next Friday.
League games as well at the same time. I'm looking here at Derry versus Sligo and Waterford versus Drogheda. Two pretty big ones in the league as well. And then most of the cup games, most of the cup, only two Friday night. And when's the second one on, lads?
Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. So I'll be down in Cork on the Friday night, and then that's a 7:30 kickoff on Friday, and then Shamrock Rovers Kerry is 6 o'clock on the Sunday.
Great stuff. Well, Ben, we'll let you talk to your off the ball overlords there and let us know whether there's a show next Friday night or not. So
we'll have to see. I'll be seeing if I can race out of Turner's Cross, maybe have a few in Cork City while I'm down there, but we'll try fit in a show on the way.
Fair play. Johnny, great stuff.
Cheers, Shane.
Chat to you, Ben.
Cheers, lads.
League of Ireland Football.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.